Counsel for the appellate.
Chief Judge Baker, Senior Judge Efron, members of the court, may it please the court. Specification 3 of Charge 1 must be dismissed because Private Warner was never on notice that his conduct was criminal. Even if this court disagrees, Specification 3 must still be dismissed because the images that he possessed are constitutionally protected and the government never presented any evidence relating to the terminal elements that would allow this court to find Private Warner's conduct undermined the effectiveness of his command, thus losing its constitutionally protected status and becoming criminal.
Before you get into that, why isn't this waived? 905 is pretty clear.
Your Honor, I believe looking at Vaughn and the other cases dealing with void for vagueness, the issue of waiver, it's really an issue of forfeiture, and 905 says it, in fact, is not, that's an issue that is not waived, is the failure to state an offense in the void for vagueness issue. There are matters of law that are looked at de novo, and that's how this court should treat them in this case as well.
Counsel, do you agree that if we resolve the first issue in your favor, that we need not reach the second issue?
Absolutely, Your Honor. It's important as a starting point for this court to understand what images we're talking about, what type of images those are. No image relating to Specification 3 contains any nudity. Rather, every image contains images of what appears to be teenage girls that are fully covered in the breast area, the pubic area, and the genitalia. Some, and not all, of the 20 pictures merely depict some portion of the cheeks of the buttocks of some of the individuals. These images were charged as sexual objects or sexually suggestive ways. These terms are not defined.
Putting aside whether how one defines fully covered, would you, when we talk about these images, do the images include the wording on them, or is that somehow not part of your discussion or analysis?
It's not clear from the record if the images include the words. In fact, the government kind of treated this as a throwaway charge. They never mentioned Specification 3 through the entire trial.
Do the images, in fact, include words on them?
They do include some words on them, that's right.
And therefore, that's before the court as we consider this issue, is it not?
I think it is, Your Honor. Although the government never put upon any theory at trial of whether those words, how those words amount.
But in terms of the appellant understanding what was or was not covered or criminal or not, that would include both the images as well as the words on these, correct?
I think that's a fair assessment. But the fundamental problem that we have with this case is the notice issue. As this court said in Vaughn, there's a two-part test to determine whether he had noticed that his conduct was criminal.
You're arguing notice, not vagueness.
I think it's part and parcel of the same thing. You have a definitional problem when you deal with the way the specification was written, but you certainly have a notice problem that his conduct was ever criminal. And that's because the government cites...
Just to be clear, you're saying he didn't have notice because it's so vague he wouldn't know. And secondly, even if he did know, it's still not clear that he had notice. Are there two pieces to it or one
I
piece?
I think so, Your Honor. The terms of the specification have no definition in the law in and of themselves. The sexually suggestive way is one factor that's in the dose analysis, but that has something that is totally removed from what we're dealing with here. We're not talking about child pornography. We're not talking about a lascivious exhibition of the genitalia. And that's what that one factor was meant to be used in combination with other factors to help define.
Do you think that so DOS doesn't apply at all?
Absolutely not, Your Honor.
Even though one of the DOS factors is whether or not the children are fully clothed or clothed in part? Because DOS does not, the factors themselves posit the possibility that the children will be clothed.
Yes, Your Honor, but DOS was created to help define a statutory term of lascivious exhibition of the genitalia, to help limit it and give it some definition. As this court said in Roderick and reiterated in Barbary, when there's no genitalia displayed, DOS doesn't apply. The Army Court in Anderson said the same thing when they said that DOS factors do not address other lascivious images lacking an exhibition of the genitals or pubic area, such as so-called child erotica. So as we presume that the judge knows and follows the law, we know that the judge did not use the DOS factors in finding Private Warner guilty of this offense. It's actually not clear from the record what he used in order to find him guilty of this offense.
Do you think Barbary overruled Roderick? How do you relate Roderick and Barbary together?
Your Honor, I believe Barbary supports Roderick. It reiterated what Roderick said, that the dose factors do not apply when there is no genitalia exposed. And that's exactly what they said. If we're dealing with notice, even assuming that Barbary somehow could have overruled on the dose factors, Barbary was published over a year, year and a half after he was found to possess these items. So that doesn't go anywhere as it deals with notice that he wasn't allowed to possess these images. What the government cannot cite is any statute, regulation, case law, custom of the service, manual for courts martial examples that brings this type of conduct into the criminal realm.
Counsel, in terms of your discussion of the relationship between vagueness and notice, if the president were to put in the manual for courts martial the words of Spec 3, that is, that service members may not display or view or download images that depict minors as sexual objects in a sexually suggestive ways, would that be unconstitutionally vague? Would that be beyond the power of the president?
Your Honor, I don't believe it beyond the power of the president. I believe that in and of itself would be vague.
If it's unconstitutionally vague, then it's beyond the power of the president. So I'm trying to figure out what the relationship is of the vagueness argument you're making to the notice argument.
And I guess that's why I mean that they're tied together, because sexually suggestive is a wholly subjective term. What might be sexually suggestive to you may not be sexually suggestive to me.
So is your answer that the president cannot place in the manual for courts martial language from this specification?
Not that in of itself. He would have to add more definition. As the United States Supreme Court said in Williams in 2008, it was dealing with the term indecent. And it said the word indecent in and of itself is wholly subjective. And without additional legislation to help define that term, it would be overbroad and void of vagueness.
Are you making the argument that a normal person, reasonable person, wouldn't consider the words on these images to be sexually suggestive?
It's not.
That someone would be left with doubt as to whether that was sexually suggestive?
I'm not saying that, Your Honor.
But isn't that part and parcel of what we're looking at, the pictures with the words?
The bigger issue, Your Honor, is how did he have notice when he possessed the images that it was unlawful for him to do so?
That's a separate issue from the question of vagueness. What I'm trying to figure out is, under Parker against Levy, and the standard in Parker against Levy of applying the economic analysis standard of the First Amendment, why would this language be unconstitutional as applied to members of the armed forces?
There's no left and right limits to sexually suggestive. You could say that there is one limit, which would be child pornography. Those images that amount to child pornography, we're talking about something less than that. But otherwise, where does the other end of the spectrum end? If Private Warner were to go to a concert where the latest teen idol is scantily clad and dancing and he takes pictures of her, then many would find sexually suggestive. Did he violate the general article of 134? What happens if he adds his own private fantasies onto the pictures, as these pictures depict?
Why wouldn't this language give him adequate notice? Again, I understand your argument about notice in this case. I'm talking about vagueness. If this language were in the manual for courts martial or in a military regulation, why wouldn't that constitute adequate notice under Parker against Levy?
I believe it's overbroad and vague, Your Honor, because there's no – where does the line end? Where does the constitutional protections stop? Where do they begin? How does that term in and of itself not suppress lawful speech? There are certainly images that many people would find are sexually suggestive on ads. Abercrombie and Fitch is a company that deals with, takes pictures and puts them out there of girls that I might not find appropriate. They would probably be considered sexually suggestive in the common sense language, but that doesn't mean the possession of those images somehow becomes a military offense.
Well, Counselor, it seems to me like much of what you're saying is helpful to an argument that he wouldn't have noticed that these particular images were criminal, that it was criminal for him to have these particular images. But I don't know that it's nearly as helpful for the other argument, which you're sort of trying to merge into the first argument. Does that make sense? I mean, they're two distinct arguments.
Yes, sir.
And you're trying to merge them together, and it's very confusing.
The much stronger argument, and I accept it, is that he never had notice that he could never possess these images in the first place. An argument that's not quite as strong, but I still think it's valid, is that he didn't, there was no left or right limits to what sexually suggestive is. And that's, looking at the government's brief, they spend 30 pages trying to define what sexually suggestive is. And it's really...
But I mean, counsel, you're not suggesting when you're talking about sexually suggestive, but you're not suggesting that if the president wanted to enumerate an offense under Article 134, saying that possession of images like these, of sexually suggestive images of young people and sexually suggestive poses, is a violation of Article 134, right? Why couldn't he do that? Why couldn't he do that and define it, or why couldn't we define it? Why would that be unconstitutionally vague?
I think the term in of itself is just too broad, Your Honor. He would have to give, I'm not saying the word, if he just said sexually suggestive, and he added some additional words to define what would be unlawful and what wouldn't be, that would be very helpful. And then this court could conduct a First Amendment analysis and go through whether there was a reasonably direct or palpable effect between possession in order to find him guilty under Article 134. But the phrase in of itself is just too broad and vague. I don't think this court even gets to that question, however, because there's no notice that at the time that he possessed these offenses, at the time he possessed these images, that it was unlawful for him to do so. Case after case said, hey, if it's not child pornography or if it's not obscene, it's lawful to possess. Cases that dealt with images similar, at least with, albeit without the words on them, that he possessed. In Amaral, the First Circuit case in 1999 had a picture of a prepubescent girl completely nude. They found it not to be child pornography and legal to possess. The Army Court found a picture that it detailed just a girl's buttocks to not be child pornography and to be legal to possess. The Third Circuit in Vosburgh found pictures of girls in swimsuits and a series of pictures called the Loli Chan series, which is a 13-year-old girl in various states of undress and sexually some sort of seductive poses. The case is real clear exactly what she was doing, the stuff with the lollipop and dressing coming out of a shower. Those pictures were found to be legal to possess. What the government does not show this court is what put him on notice at the time that he possessed these pictures that it was unlawful for him to do so. And that's why the specification must fail at the very beginning.
What does it mean to have the focal point be the pubic area? Does that mean you actually have to depict the genitalia, or would a picture that was zeroed in on the crotch with clothes, would that be a focal point on the pubic area?
It would, Your Honor, and the government cites United States versus Knox, a Third Circuit case for that. And they're correct. If it was focused in on her crotch, it would be a focal point, and then you would conduct the DOST analysis to determine if it's a lascivious exhibition.
So it's your view that none of these pictures depict or are crafted in a manner so that the focal point is the pubic area?
That is our position.
That is your position.
There's only one or two that show the pubic area.
And if that is your position, if you were incorrect in that, the DOS factors would apply, correct?
If I was incorrect in that, Brian?
Right.
I don't think so, because there's a separate specification for child pornography. That's where, if they meet the DOS factors, they're child pornography. And that's how they should have been charged with that specification.
The focal point is the pubic area, what happens then? You can't be charged with anything under any law in your view?
Well, part of the problem, Your Honor, is there's no other law to charge them under, because there's no other statute or regulation that says something less could be criminal. If it doesn't meet the definition of child pornography, or if it doesn't meet the definition of obscenity.
And the DOS factors would not apply even if the focal area was the pubic area, the focal point was the pubic area?
They would in that case, Your Honor, if they're charged as child pornography. And I believe there's one or two photos that show some pubic area. Everything's clothed, but the government at trial never asserted that those were child pornography and that those factors should apply. And I don't see how this court would find that the judge used the dose factors to find him guilty, because this court's guidance and the Army Court's guidance said that dose factors don't apply to images that don't amount to child pornography. I see that my time is almost expired, so any questions?
counsel for the government?
Yes, sir.
Before you start, as I understand it, the government concedes that this issue isn't waived.
Concedes that it's not waived, Your Honor?
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor. The government's understanding is that because it raises a constitutional issue of what a constitutional
power is. That's enough. Thank you. Okay.
May it please the Court, Chief Judge Baker, members of the Court, I'm Major Ken Bornino, along with Lieutenant Colonel James Barley, who represent the government. Initially, the appellant is correct in his reply brief that the government did miscite three of those images, I believe, in our footnote 8 of our brief. I mistakenly looked in the wrong folder when I was going through the review, and I didn't have a chance to relook at the folder again until this morning. So to the extent that I cite those three images, those are not relevant to this discussion in this case. So I believe it's footnote 10 where I list off all the other images. Those are the images actually in question here. I think it's the third subfolder.
So is it the government's position in this case that none of the images that we're looking at here in this case or that were charged in this particular specification constitute child pornography as defined in the statute?
There may be a couple images, Your Honor, when you take the definition in Knox that, you know, you don't necessarily need nudity. When you have the focal point of the genitalia, there are a number of images which do focus upon the genitalia. So had the government charged those as child pornography, it is possible that those could be considered child pornography.
Right. But none of them were charged, nor were they instructed upon as being child pornography in this case. Is that correct? And so should the court proceed on the basis that for purposes of this argument that these, in this case, that these matters are not child pornography, or are you asking the court to make an independent view that these are child pornography in this case?
Not as to child pornography specifically, Your Honor. The government's position, and this ties into our argument regarding barbarity, is that the images are lewd, and that is what overcomes the constitutional protection for these particular images.
What is lewdness?
Lewdness comes from the DOS factors, Your Honor.
Yeah, but you don't get into the DOS factors unless you have genitalia or pubic.
And I disagree with that, Your Honor, because of the fact that what DOS was defining was, yes, it was taking into account the federal definition, which was lascivious exhibition of the genitalia or pubic region.
Right, and that was, by definition, that's not here, right?
Well, correct, Your Honor. But what DOS was trying to do was define that term for use by later courts, and by use by that court to determine what the term meant. But the issue there is exhibition of the genitalia or pubic region was not something that was unknown, and it's clear on its face. What DOS was trying to do was define the term lascivious. And that's what it's getting at. And as this court and other courts have routinely held, lascivious and lewd are synonyms for each other and define each other, essentially. So what DOS was doing, these DOS factors are related to the term lascivious. So these are instructive as to the fact as what the term lewd or lascivious actually means. So the court can still...
Wait a minute. You're charging down this road, and I'm still back with genitalia and pubic. You're saying, well... Yeah, there wasn't genitalia and pubic, but DOS had another purpose and blah, 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 blah. And how are you supposed to know that this stuff is prohibited?
Well, and that goes to the void from ignorance from the notice issue, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
And that goes to the notice issue here, Your Honor, as to whether or not he would be on notice that these particular images in this case would be something that could be subject to prosecution. And appellant's primary arguments rely on the fact that, one, child erotica or lewd images of minors are not prohibited generally, criminally, and that they may receive constitutional protection, and that's the issue that we raised with regard to barbarity. But even assuming, well, clearly not criminally prohibited, the military doesn't do it, other jurisdictions generally don't do it. And, you know, even assuming the constitutionality of it, that doesn't necessarily lead to a lack of notice because the military, as we know, has a clear ability to still prosecute you for conduct that is either not criminal or constitutionally protected. So the question comes down to whether or not a service member looking at these images or the conduct in question would be able to understand and fathom that these images could potentially be prosecuted under 134 as being service discredited.
Okay. Go ahead.
Don't we go to the Vaughan factors then, the Vaughan criteria to find out what constitutes notice?
Well, I think you would, Your Honor, and I think you do look to those different factors as to, you know, state law.
And what state law and federal law have criminalized child erotica?
Well, there are no other statute or there are no other jurisdictions that criminalize child erotica per se. But I think what it comes down to is the question of whether or not lewdness is something that could be prohibited by the military under 134.
Well, the specification doesn't say lewdness. The specification could have said lewdness.
The specification could have, Your Honor, but
and it doesn't.
Sorry.
And it doesn't. So. I mean, what you're arguing now is that they are child erotica, and that is criminal because they're lewd and lascivious. But we don't have lewd and lascivious contained anywhere in there.
No, Your Honor, but I think that the terms used in the specification are part and parcel with legal lasciviousness.
So sexual objects and sexually suggestive way are synonyms for lewd and lascivious.
It is a piece of lewdness or lasciviousness. That is one type of lewdness and lasciviousness. For, like, the same thing could be said, you know, if you're charging child pornography, there are multiple ways that things can be child pornography, actually sexual acts engaging in bestiality or lascivious exhibition of the genitals. If you use the term child pornography, that can mean any of those. But if you use the term bestiality, you've now limited, it's still, you're still charging child pornography, you've just chosen one type of it.
Here's what the problem is. I don't think anyone disagrees with you that you can reach all sorts of conduct under Article 134, so long as you meet the terminal element. Right? I mean, it's a highly malleable statute. It's intended to be that way, to serve the purpose of allowing commanders to maintain good order and discipline and the integrity of the service reputation, right? What can be done is distinct from the other question, which is, how would he be on notice that this particular possession of these particular photos would be subject to criminal sanction? Right, which is a completely different question than whether it can be subject to criminal sanction.
Correct.
Right? But to answer the question that we're talking about here today, you need to go to the fog factors, right? And so you need to be able to point us to a regulation or a statute or something that would, that we can infer that he would have noticed that this particular act is criminal from.
And yes, Your Honor, the government can't point to a specific regulation or statute at issue.
And
case law, federal law, you need to go down the menu.
Custom of the service.
Correct, Your Honor. And the basic point is, and what the government relies on is the fact that these images would be considered lewd, and that type of lewd...
Can lewd...
Okay, and where do you get notice in the military? Don't hold lewd pictures.
Well, I think from the very nature of the fact that, you know, whether a particular image is service discrediting or whether or not it could bring discredit upon the service. And I think, you know, you look to different case law, such as, you know, what we said in the United States versus Medina, that it is intuitive that the viewing of child pornography discredits those who do it.
This isn't child pornography. Whoa.
But I think that the same principle applies.
No, the same principle doesn't apply. But child pornography is statutorily and judicially defined for a reason. And the reason is that you got to cut square corners with the government.
Correct, Your Honor, for what purpose?
Wait. When it's not child pornography, you can't just go charging off and say, well, he should have known this was service discrediting even though it wasn't child pornography, because it's nasty stuff. So what do you have?
But I think that the principle behind Medina as to why child pornography is intuitively service discrediting is by the very nature of the images and limiting it solely to whatever jurisdiction
you
chose.
But you're using Medina as though it somehow said, therefore, his conviction is affirmed because it's intuitively service discrediting, and that's not what happened, counsel. I mean, you're picking one word and one sentence out of an entire case and using it for a proposition that it doesn't stand for.
Right, and I'm not trying to say it's a per se rule that once you have child pornography, it's per se service
discrediting. Not, you agree, this is not child pornography, right?
Correct.
I mean, what he was charged with was possessing child erotica.
Essentially, yes, Your Honor.
Right, all right, so let's stick to the terms that the government chose to use in this particular case.
Your argument is that a normally intelligent member of the armed forces at that time would know that it was discrediting to possess lewd and lascivious pictures. Is that a start point?
Of minors, yes.
Of minors.
Can anything that's lewd ever be constitutionally protected?
Let me just finish my question.
Oh, sorry.
Where would someone get notice of that proposition that I, Lance Corporal Baker, cannot possess lewd and lascivious pictures of minors that are not otherwise child pornography?
I mean, I think it just comes from the very nature of the images themselves in this case. And in looking at the images and understanding what they represent, as you know, I think the court in Bosberg, when it was discussing the admission of certain images of child erotica under a challenge for relevance, was discussing the fact that those images have the predilection to show that, or to demonstrate that a particular individual has a predilection towards pedophilia. And I think that that's what these types of images have. If a reasonable member of the public was aware that a service member was possessing these types of images and would have that impression that the military was employing people who had those types of predilections. And I think that that's where you can gain the notice that these are clearly wrong. And what you get from you know, the general principles behind waiver and vagueness are that, you know, it's a question of determining whether or not someone understands the difference between right and wrong. And clearly, in this circumstance, a service member looking at these images would know that these are wrong to be possessing, and that they are potentially could bring discredit upon the service if someone was to find out that he was, in fact, possessing it, based on their very nature, based on the lewdness of the images in question.
Can a lewd image ever be constitutionally protected?
The government's argument, a lewd image of a minor, the government argues, would not be constitutionally protected.
Can a lewd image of a major be constitutionally protected?
Yes, Your Honor. Yeah,
okay. Okay. Well, what's the difference?
Because of the fact then that the difference between a minor and a major. And that's what Ferber points out, is there's a difference between pornographic or lewd images between adults and children. Because of the fact, and child pornography is regulated, not based on...
I understand that. I understand that. So you're saying that lewd images of minors are not constitutionally protected?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Counsel, the charge uses the phrase sexual objects and sexually suggestive. Is it the government's position that there's a equivalence between lewd and lascivious and those other terms? That is, every time an image treats a person as a sexual object, it is necessarily lewd and lascivious, and everything that's sexually suggestive is necessarily lewd and lascivious? Or are there depictions of persons as sexual objects or in a sexually suggestive way that would not meet the definition of lewd and lascivious?
And I think it's the latter, Your Honor, that there would be depictions that just because you meet one would not necessarily meet the definition of lewd and lascivious.
And so how do we know that the fact finder in this case, which my recollection is a military judge, made a conviction upon a determination that these images were lewd and lascivious, as opposed to making a conviction upon a determination that they were sexual objects and sexually suggestive without necessarily being lewd and lascivious?
And I guess the one concern is we don't necessarily have a finding that the military judge found that these images were in fact lewd.
So why shouldn't we proceed on that basis?
Well, because the lewdness question is separate from the specific charge. Because the charge uses specific language, and the question is whether or not that specific language used is met by the proof.
Right. So what does lewd and lascivious have to do with this particular case? If it is possible that everybody in that courtroom viewed these matters as sexual objects and sexually suggestive without making a determination that they were lewd and lascivious?
The lewd and lascivious question turns to the underlying threshold issue for both assignments of error in this case as to whether or not the images are constitutionally protected. And that goes to an initial determination as to whether or not, if they were to receive constitutional protection, the question is whether or not they are lewd.
Well, let's assume that they're not constitutionally protected.
Sure, if
then you have a question of notice. Does notice necessarily require that you only get notice of matters that are constitutionally protected?
No, Your Honor. The government's arguments regarding constitutionally protected is not as much towards the board for vagueness, because obviously the military can still prosecute you for constitutional conduct. It primarily goes towards the second assignment of error with Wilcox, that if these are not constitutionally protected, then Wilcox doesn't apply, so we don't get into that room. But for the notice aspect, we're looking at the specific terms used within the specification and whether or not those are terms that could be readily understood by a reasonable service member. And that's the government's position, that the terms used here are terms of common understanding and of ordinary meaning that a reasonable service member can interpret and understand.
Would a reasonable service member know that objects which are not lewd and lascivious can nonetheless be prosecuted because they depict minors as sexual objects or in a sexually suggestive way?
Correct, Your Honor, in the context that, you know, they could potentially be service discredited and that they could bring discredit upon the service if members of the public were to know that he was possessing these particular images.
Is it service discrediting to view publicly circulated magazines that feature minors in ads for toggery in sexually suggestive poses?
No, Your Honor, because the question would be whether or not those images are lewd.
Then we're right back in the problem that Judge Efron just pointed out. We don't know what went on here. The spec doesn't say anything about lewdness.
Right, Your Honor, and there are, when you're dealing with void for vagueness challenges, you're dealing with the conduct.
Well, but we're not just dealing with vagueness, we're dealing with notice.
Correct, Your Honor, but I think with notice, you're also looking at the conduct in question. And the conduct in question here is wholly separate and distinct from those types of magazines which you may be looking at.
If by definition it's not pornography, and if by definition we don't know if it's lewd or not, because we don't know what went on there, then where does that leave us? What notice does a rational service person have that X is service, that viewing X is service discrediting? All you're saying is that he ought to infer it or imply it from something that's basically undefined.
Correct, Your Honor. And the issue here is the fact that states have not gone forward in or the jurisdiction.
Well, there may be a reason for that.
And we cite to a number of the cases, like the 33 of the 50 states who have broader definitions of child pornography than the federal statute. And in some respect, a lot of those states' definitions are essentially criminalizing child erotica, because they are criminalizing depictions, you know, such as only the bare female breast or just the intimate parts, as a number of states has defined as. Those images.
But as I understand it, that's not these images. So what's the relevance of that?
Well, it just goes to the fact of that there's a broader class of category of images that can be prosecuted with images.
Would you agree that there are different ways to define lewd and lascivious?
There are, Your Honor.
You can find different dictionaries and different case law.
Correct, Your Honor. And that's why you turn to the DOS factor.
So then how would someone know, even if they made the leap, to say sexually suggestive equals lewd, how would they know which definition they're defending against?
Well, I think what you look to is the generally accepted definition, which comes from the DOS factors. And that's the generally accepted criteria of how you determine whether or not a particular image would be lewd. And so that would be the
in criminal law, you gravitate to DOS.
In this jurisdiction, yes, Your Honor. And I think Roderick accepts that under the totality of circumstances as the general framework for determining whether or not images are lewd or lascivious.
I'd just like to take a step back on that, on the Chief Judge's question. How would your average service member know that sexual objects or sexually suggestive manner means lewd or lascivious?
And I think from that respect, you know, for notice, you look to case law and such as providing notice.
And that your normal soldier and sailor out there is supposed to be aware of that?
Correct, and I believe that's the principle, is that when we say, you know, the bond factors, that these are the things that can provide notice, case law, regulation, statutory scheme, presume that the soldier is able to, you know, read that and understand it, because that's what provides the notice. So the case law out there which defines lewdness, lascivious, or child erotica as...
What case law defines lewd or lascivious in a manner that, I mean, they make the distinction between child pornography, which is prohibited, and child erotica, which, as far as I understand, is not prohibited anywhere.
Right, Your Honor. I mean, I think that comes from, like, when you take the specific terms of issue in this case, sexually suggestive poses and sexual objects, I mean, those are straight from the DOS factors. I mean, you look at...
It seems to me what you want to do is take child erotica and move it over to child pornography, because that's where you're getting all of your legal arguments.
Correct, Your Honor. Well, constitutionally, that's our argument, that child erotica should be considered part and parcel of child pornography for purposes of the constitutional under FERPA.
How do you square Ashcroft?
Because Ashcroft only dealt with the fact that you need a real minor, because Ashcroft is entirely consistent with FERPA in saying that the issue is the protection of minors, and that's the reason why we are able to prosecute child pornography while child pornography is not protected by the First Amendment, is the protection of these minors. So Ashcroft decided solely on the principle that when you have virtual images, you don't have real minors, so there's no one being injured, so the interests of FERBER are not being met.
Okay, didn't the statute in FERBER, or didn't the relevant portion of the state statute in FERBER require a lewd exhibition of the genitals?
Correct, Your Honor. And that's
okay, we don't have that here, so what's the relevance?
Well, FERBER was, yes, analyzing a statute that did require that, but FERBER didn't say that that's the exclusive definition of child pornography for what we're deciding. In fact, FERBER said that, didn't want to go so far as to define what child pornography said.
Okay. Can you cite me any case in which the Supreme Court or this court held child erotica to be pornographic, child erotica in the sense we're talking about it today, to be pornographic, as you guys seem to be arguing for?
Not directly, Your Honor, but Osborne v. Ohio discusses the fact that the crucial question regarding to whether or not something is considered child pornography for constitutional purposes.
The statute in Osborne also required a graphic focus on the genital.
And Osborne said that that was irrelevant because the crucial question is whether the depiction is lewd, not whether the depiction happens to focus on the genitals or the buttocks. Because what the Supreme Court is saying is we do not agree that this distinction between body areas and specific body parts is constitutionally significant. Statutorily significant, of course.
But how do you make the leap from that, counsel, to like a sexually suggestive picture of a clothed person?
Right, and I think
how do you square that with the Abercrombie and Fitch ads, with the television ads, with what you see in magazines all the time? I mean, all of those things, many of those things, depict young people in what I would call a sexually suggestive pose.
True, Your Honor, and I think that the two different parts.
And so, given that, I mean, how would someone think that that was a crime?
Well, yes, Your Honor, and the two different aspects of that would be, and the two different parts of this case would be the constitutional question, whether or not that type of image would be constitutionally protected under the lewd concept, and the idea that those images would not be lewd, so those would be constitutionally protected. The second question would be like what we're dealing with specific to this case and the specific charge and the specific language, and mirroring up the language with a specific conduct at issue and determining whether or not that could be services credit. And clearly, I don't think a service member would be able to reasonably infer that a member of the public would think less of them if they're looking at Abercrombie and Fitch catalog. But a reasonable service member looking at the conduct in question in this case would clearly understand that it could be considered services credit.
But you keep on saying that it's clear and that it's obvious and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but you've yet to point us to a single statute, regulation, et cetera, from which that knowledge would come.
Well, yes, Your Honor, but I think it's just the general nature of understanding what lewd encompasses from case law.
But it doesn't say lewd. I mean, you'd like us to agree with you that it's lewd, and you'd like us to agree that the lewd also equals something that should be considered child pornography, in your opinion, right? But it's not, I think from the questions you can tell, it's not quite as obvious to us as it appears to be to you.
Correct, Your Honor. And I think that the issue there is that using the terms as applied in the specification, you know, looking at the case law, those are terms generally used, almost the exact wording, used to define child erotica.
No, they're not. Sexually suggestive is vastly broader.
But saying that it's child erotica doesn't help you, because child erotica isn't a crime anywhere.
Correct, Your Honor, but it could be a crime under Article 134.
I don't disagree with you that almost anything can be a crime under Article 134. I don't disagree with you about that at all. What I am having a problem with is how you take that concept and make sure that people have appropriate notice. I mean, it's not intended to be a statute that's just there to trap the unwary for something that they wouldn't know would be criminal.
Correct, Your Honor. And I think that the concept would come down to the reference to the interest discussed in the fervor as to why we are allowed to prosecute child pornography is the protection of children and the injury of children.
No one's quibbling with you. This is like yesterday. We were told Congress doesn't like child pornography. I was like, really? I mean, of course no one likes child pornography. This isn't child pornography, counsel.
Yeah, not the federal definition, Your Honor, but I think these images still constitute an injury and harm to the children depicted. And I think that that's what a service member could be unreasonably noticed, that the military could have.
Well, no, that is a policy argument for Congress. That is not a reason to infer notice.
The time is up. Are there more questions on the bench or commentary? Any questions on the bench? Are you happy? Or do you have any more questions?
Go ahead.
Would you like to briefly summarize, brief defined as 10 seconds or less?
Yes, Your Honor, and just a brief conclusion. The threshold question in this case is still whether or not these images are constitutionally protected, and whether or not this court finds that these images are lewd, or whether or not the statute is void for vagueness. The underlying question is whether or not, as to why these images may or may not be lewd, or may or not be constitutionally protected. And in that respect, the government requests also that U.S. v. Barbieri be overturned, to the extent that it suggests that any image that does not meet the federal definition of child pornography is per se constitutionally protected. The real
counsel, you hadn't raised Barbieri in that regard before, but I'm going to ask you this question and indulge to my colleagues.
Yeah, this question.
As I read Barbieri, it expressly states that it is solely based upon a charge that was brought using the federal definitions, and it's not addressing a case, expressly states it's not addressing a case in which the federal definitions aren't used. So why is it necessary to overrule or even explain Barbieri in this case in order to rule in favor of the government if we were inclined to do so?
Because what Barbieri suggests, Your Honor, what Barbieri states is that we have images at issue that are alleged to be child pornography, but they do not meet the federal definition of child pornography. And the conclusion is, because they are not A, they are therefore consequently constitutionally protected.
So the language in Barbieri that says charges for the possession of child pornography could be brought pursuant to clauses 1 or 2 without reference to the definitions laid out in the CPPA, thereby creating a completely different set of elements required for conviction, that's not before us. That language doesn't mean anything in that opinion?
Well, yes, sir, and that's still correct regardless, because they can still be constitutionally protected and it can still be brought under 1 or 2. The question is the predicate, whether or not they're constitutionally protected. And you get from Barbieri where it says, the freedom of speech has its limits. It does not embrace certain categories of speech, including defamation, incitement, child pornography, or pornography of real children. Thus, speech that falls outside of these categories retains First Amendment protection. Accordingly, PEs 23 to 26 constitute constitutionally protected speech. The problem there is the inference that child pornography, using that term, means only what the federal definition states. And that's not the case. What Osborne and Ferber make clear is that child pornography for the constitutional purpose is broader than just a lascivious exhibition of the genitals. It is the question of what lewd images of minors are what are constitute child pornography for purposes of the Constitution.
I understand your reading of the case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the appellant. If need be, in their questions, we will not hold you to the clock, but that's not an invitation to not respond to questions and talk.
Chief Judge Baker, I only have two quick points, so I appreciate that. Senior Judge Efron, you asked counsel if you could have sexually suggestive images that are not lewd. That concedes the issue that this phrase is overbroad and vague. Simply saying it could be...
Well, the question doesn't concede anything. What is the point you're trying to make?
The answer of the government concedes that the term is overbroad and vague because there could be, of course, sexually suggestive images that are not lewd. And simply saying this is a nature that could be service discrediting is not sufficient to provide notice, as this court said in Saunders. These images are...
Well, that may address notice, but I'm not sure why it makes it overly broad and vague. Well, why couldn't the president have a rule that said no service member may possess or display images that treat minors as sexual objects or in a sexually suggestive way? I understand constitutional issues can be raised about that in terms of personal autonomy and privacy, free speech, in a variety of ways, but why is that overbroad and vague?
Your Honor, because it impermissibly infringes on constitutionally protected possession of images, and that's the problem with the government. They can't delineate between the two. Simply saying service discrediting is not sufficient because this conduct is protected in the civilian society, and it is not criminal. So just to say because a service member happens to own it or possess it, it must be service discrediting. The two don't tie together at all, as this court said in Saunders. And it goes back to the question by Judge Stuckey and Chief Judge Baker about how notice was provided, and the government just wanted to get back to the service discrediting aspect. It said the nature of the images themselves. My friend with the government said he must understand the difference between right and wrong and that this could bring service discredit to the service. But his idea of right and wrong morally may be different than someone else's. Levy is not about providing the government with assistance. It's not about the military being able to regulate morality, and that's what the government intended to do here. Put in your question.
Court, thanks both counsel. The case is now submitted, and we will stand in recess until 10:30. Thank you very much.
Court stands in recess until 10:30 a.m.